And welcome to our review section, where today we're talking about snorkeling between two continents in a place called Silfra, which is in Iceland. So a bit of introduction. Back in January, we went on a fantastic trip to Iceland. We went to explore these kind of natural wonders and hopefully catch a glimpse of the Northern Lights. We were incredibly lucky with the weather, and especially with the Northern Lights. And there's a ton of photos and stories on our website, theworldonweekend.com. So if you want to learn more, head over here after the podcast. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about a few highlights of the trip. And then we'll be giving you some Northern Light spotting tips in the next few weeks, including not only how to see them, but also where's the best place to see them. So keep downloading the podcast and keep checking the site for more info. But let's talk about Iceland and let's talk about this amazing experience. So Iceland, land of natural wonders, and that's all thanks to the unique geological location. Iceland is sat on the join of the North American and Eurasian tectonic plates. Now, the plates are moving apart, and that's creating volcanic eruptions, lava fields, and all these other really unique and amazing natural phenomena that make Iceland incredibly special and an amazing place to visit. Now, the plate's been moving apart about 2.5 centimeters per year for the last 5,000 years, which has kind of created this fissure going down deep into the earth. Now, that fissure is being filled by water from a glacier from a surrounding mountain, and that slowly, and when I say slowly, I mean it 70 to 100 years, is about the time it takes to get from the mountain down into the lake at Silfra. But the good news is the water is incredibly pure. I mean, it's so pure that in certain light, the water looks silver, which is where the lake Silfra gets its name from, because Silfra is Icelandic for silver. Now, we really wanted to go snorkeling. We decided to go with Dive IS. They were recommended to us. They also use dry suits as opposed to wetsuits. I think if you use a wetsuit in winter, you might be crazy. And obviously all their instructors are fully qualified. Our instructor was an English diver called Tom. He gave us a very entertaining safety briefing in the bus before heading out and embarking on the Homeric journey into our dry suits. Now, the entire experience lasts about 4 hours, but only about 40 minutes of that is actually spent snorkeling. The rest of the time, you're pretty much getting vac packed into a dry suit, and you want to make sure it is super airtight, because if it's not, you're probably going to freeze to death very fast. Now, first of all, you put on the thermal onesie, and then you put on this neoprene dry suit. Then you put on the gloves and a balaclava, and then the whole thing is kind of just bit by bit is sucked and stretched all over your body. And then you've pretty much got none of your joints are fully mobile, and you can't really hide any bodily curve as well. So it's kind of a bonding experience, because you're in a group, and we kind of shot the breeze a little bit about how we felt about being in this essentially neoprene condom. Some people thought they felt a bit like Iron Man, and that's because there's like a circular scuba diving plate on your chest. Some people thought they were like Batman because they couldn't move their necks, they had to turn using their shoulders. Some people thought they looked like a 1970 Doctor Who aliens, because let's be honest, there's no way that 1970s Doctor Who producers didn't put some poor extras into a dry suit and try and pass them off as aliens. Or of course, some people felt they were a large phallus in a small sheath. That's more to do with how you feel rather than how you look. I definitely agreed with that one. Anyway, after a while, it was finally time to get into the water, and to our lovely surprise, the suits kicked into action, and various parts of our bodies that had been upset by the freezing cold kind of got a little bit happier, as actually the water was relatively warmer than this biting cold on the land. The suits are incredibly buoyant though, like, and especially when you have the flippers on, it's at first pretty much impossible to kind of get vertical in the water. So I think for the first 2 or 3 minutes, literally our whole group just kind of uncontrollably barrel rolled and was trying to get vertical, but just kept on flipping over, head down, head up, head down, head up. I imagine if you were looking down at the group from the shore, you probably think it was like, what's that 80s video game, Frogger, you know, all the logs just rolling up and down. But anyway, we gained control. We kind of got on top of our dry suits, and you start the tour by entering what we call, well, what the Icelandics call the Big Crag. Now, previously, our guide Tom had pointed out that the Icelandic language is somewhat unsubtle and quite literal. You know, oh, the lake looks silver. We should call it silver. But judging from the Big Crack, their language is also a little bit prone to the understatement, because the Big Crack should really be renamed the Really Big Crack. Now, it's only a few meters wide, but this fissure just shoots down deep, deep, deep into the earth, and the water is so pure, it feels like you can see for hundreds of meters down into the gap between the two tectonic plates. It's really quite incredible. It's an amazing view. Next up, you keep on swimming and you get to an area called the Hall. I thought this was quite a I felt it's kind of underrated part of the tour, because you start in the Big Crack and you end up in what we call the cathedral, but the Hall was the shallow part, and it was shallow enough so that it actually had banks, and they had they were littered with kind of leaves and another fauna that you know, as the sun kind of shone down through the water and refracted and bounced off, they had these a lot of the leaves were bright silver, and the rocks there were kind of blue and red, and the sand was really yellow, and it was really, really pretty and quite stunning to see again, because the water is just like glass. But we turned the corner, we kept on going, and we entered what's called the cathedral. Now, the cathedral is basically a deep, deep, deep circular chasm. It's like the Big Crack, but like a sort of big circle, and it goes way further down into this kind of almost, well, light beyond, really. The cathedral is definitely a part of the tour that you kind of think, oh, I should get a diving certificate, because you really want to just swim down deep into it and kind of explore this amazing rocks and this deep cavern. So, yeah, I mean, one nice part of the tour is that, or at least the tour we went to at Dive IS, is that they allow you to spend as much time in the water in the cathedral as you want, really. But once we got there, and I was kind of lagging at the back, so I wasn't getting splashed and could enjoy everything, and got a little bit lost in the hall. But by the time I got into the cathedral, most of our group were pretty much done, and they were ready, and we'd been promised hot chocolates once you got back to base. But Rachel and I just kind of continued to explore Silfra and the ocean bed, and they also have a camera underwater, so Rachel and I post for a lot of photos that are again on the website, and it was very fun, and we'd like to thank Tom for freezing with us right until the bitter end. But we finally emerged from our kind of tectonic odyssey, and we immediately remembered just how cold Iceland is on a January morning. Actually, as we got out and we took our last little photo on the camera, I could hear a cracking in my ear, and actually that was the water on our balaclava started freezing, and so right next to your ear you can actually hear it go like so we got back to base pretty quickly, kind of ejected ourselves and unsucked out of our suits and back into normal clothes, and then started downing hot chocolate like it was tequila. Fantastic experience. Really enjoyed it. Silfra is in the Thingvellir National Park, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The lake is right next to the original Viking Parliament building site. It's called Althing, and that was founded, I think, in like 930 AD, and it's got all these other amazing sort of both historical and cultural, but also natural attractions there. It's really stunning. One downside is that the UNESCO status also forbids any building in the park. So with the exception of literally one tiny, tiny toilet, there's no indoor buildings for you to warm up in. So our advice would be, if you want to go diving in Sulphura in winter, wrap up warm and then make sure you bring even more clothes for when you get out. Dive IS does offer an option of picking you up from your hotel, but I would personally recommend driving to the site, because then, you know, once you've warmed up and thawed out and dried up, you could enjoy Thingvellir Park afterwards. Now, the snorkeling and diving tours are available all year round, but obviously if you want to see the Northern Lights, you will have to go when it's cold. Also, because Iceland is becoming very, very popular, the snorkeling is becoming more and more and more popular. So I think they said that just Dive IS alone, we're going to have over 100 people per day, and there's about half a dozen other companies as well who also offer tours. So it's just going to be constantly people in and out of the summer. So make sure you do book if you're planning on visiting and going for a holiday to Iceland. Also, there is a camera on the tour taking photos. That's extra. I think it's about 2,000 kroner. It's just over £10, but does make some nice souvenirs. We had hoped to take our own photos. We bought a GoPro so we could video and photo, but literally it was so cold, our GoPro just said, nope, not working today. So it stayed in the car, but sadly for it, it missed out on an amazing experience. So if you enjoy that and you want to read more stories about our intense Iceland long weekend, for our thoughts and our opinions on places we stayed at and the meals we had, just head towards the website where there's plenty more about our stay there. Otherwise, listen in next week, because we will be reviewing another place that we enjoyed. In fact, I think we have two more reviews lined up the next 2 weeks, so plenty more on Iceland to come, especially next, because we're about to go into travel tips, where we're going to talk about how to see the Northern Lights.